You may be seated. Today we are going to continue in the course that we have begun several weeks ago, and we shall maybe for another 2 or 3 weeks, whatever the Lord says, amen, engage in why doctrinal preaching is so unappealing in modern ministry. I want you this morning to take your Bibles. Nicholson is our designated reader. Everyone turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Primarily we'll be looking out of verses 4 and 5. Again, why is doctrinal preaching, grace doctrinal preaching, so unappealing today in our pulpits? Amen. Why is it disdained even in favor of what the law says, or in favor of what the kingdom gospel says? Why is the grace gospel put on the back burner in many of our ministries? Last week, we had left off, we had conveyed various reasons why this is so. And if you can remember, chief among the reasons are spiritual laziness, of which we dealt with last week, and today, their desire for popularity. And if time permits, today, their superficial and lopsided evangelism, and then also love for sensationalism. As we assess these motives, today we move into the essence of looking at today's modern ministry's desire for popularity. Everybody got 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's begin with verse 1. Our focus is going to be on verse 4 and 5, but we're going to begin in verse 1. We had started there, and we have done some of it, looked at some of this, and we shall come back to this from time to time. This is ongoing, as we shall look at, and we shall continue to keep before you the seriousness of focusing on our gospel,
right.
Prioritizing it, majoring in our gospel.
Yes, sir.
The God, there's no other gospel that should be preached,
right,
in the present dispensation. Now, this is going to cause us to not be popular with some people. And that, therefore, we look at this desire for popularity. But what does God want? What are our orders? What is our commission? What should we be preaching? Amen. One instance we had looked at when Paul was saying that this thing should be preached when it's convenient,
right,
and preached also when it's not convenient.
Right.
Preach when they like it, but also preach it when they don't. Preach it when it's drawing amens, and also preach it when it's drawing frowns. Oh my God. Preach it when it's making folk uncomfortable. All right. Elder started reading in verse 1 from the King James, and then we'll go to the Greek Interlineal.
Read chapter 2.
Yeah, the five verses there. Everybody got it again, amen?
Yeah.
All right.
Chapter 2, verse 1, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God.
Mm-hmm.
For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith
mm-hmm.
should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Everybody say amen. Now here is some very succinct and demonstrative directives as to what should be done and what should not be done. Notice this, our gospel is all-encompassing, what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Of course, that has been the way God has communicated with mankind, even in the other dispensations. In Israel, not only did he tell them what they should do, he also told them what they shouldn't do. And as long as we are on the as long as we are in sync with what our directives are and what the scriptures declaratively and very clearly conveys, our comfort shall not be with the crowd. Our comfort shall be in the scriptures. Our comfort shall not be in being popular, but it shall be in being in the truth. And that's where our confidence stands. Now, take out your document. Of course, we don't have the documents, right? That's right, I didn't get them done. But last week, if you have last week's bulletin, our excerpt there, titled Desire for Popularity. We sort of running a week behind, I guess, and but it is a natural instinct that preachers and teachers should wish to please their hearers. That's the natural instinct. But it is spiritual for them to desire and aim at the approbation, that is, the approving, authorizing, and positive sanctioning of God. In the kingdom gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ is claimed in Matthew 6:24 and as recorded also in Luke 16:13, that nor can anyone serve two masters. And if God is our God and he is our Lord, then he is the one we should seek to please. And it is his approval, regardless of what men construed as being popular. On one occasion, Apostle Paul speaks of being unknown but yet known.
Amen.
Unknown but yet known.
Amen.
Basically, if you look at that context, is the basis of being unknown as far as men are concerned, but yet known as it relates to being in sync with the gospel of the grace of God. And that's what Paul was talking about. Nobody wants to be unpopular. Everybody be like, that's just a human instinct. We like to have the approval of our peers. That's that. But at what cost? At what price? What will you sacrifice in order to obtain that? To receive the accolade of men. Ministering should be taken very, very, very serious. In the grace gospel, the Apostle Paul in Galatians 1 and 10 says that if I yet please men, and here we have the Greek phrase ukon imin, rendered, I should not be. If I please men, I should not be what? I should not be Christ's servant. In other words, that's what you're going to sacrifice. That you will not be the Lord's minister if you're the people's minister.
Amen.
Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Amen.
To be the minister that the world looks upon and say she is the number one minister in the country. You know, the most known, the most beloved, the most influential.
Right, right.
Yeah. What does that mean? Paul said, if I please man, I'm pleasing man, I'm not the servant of Christ. Now, when we look at that phrase, ukon imin, we have a verbal particle there, on, transmits how these solemn words admonish those whose chief aim is to amass crowd assemblies. Now, I would love to see the seats in here filled. I mean fill the capacity. But to hear the grace doctrine expounded and broken down, if we've got to move away from the gospel of grace in order to attract the masses, the only thing that I have accomplished is I'm disobedient to the directives of the grace covenant. Now, grace ministering requires militating against the tide of human delight. As we and some other scriptures have conveyed, itching the ears and popular opinions in favor of preaching what is unacceptable to the human of the natural resonance. They might not like it, but our job is to preach the truth. Isn't it strange when you go back and look into the scriptures how none of God's preachers were ever, I'm talking about the ones that actually preached and taught according to the script. All the way back. I mean, you can go back as far as even back as far as Abraham and then Moses. You know, some days they loved Moses, some days they hated Moses.
Amen.
Hmm? Some days they sang his praise, and some days they said, this Moses has messed us up. That's in the Old Testament. And you look at all of the prophets that God had, all the way down through the annals of time, the job has been to convey what was unpopular rather than what is popular. I can't imagine the prophet Nathan having to come to David to tell him, man, you just messed up royally. Happened to go tell the king that. This is how God, y'all don't hear me this morning. I'm going, just giving us a little corroboration here. Go, and when we look at the prophets, did they love the prophets? No, they hated the prophets. We had Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Amen. Because he was not bringing what they construed as good news.
I hear you.
And sometimes good news is not pleasing to the natural ear.
Amen.
Not the truth anyway. Good news is the truth. Good news is not what we construe as being good. Good news is the truth. And all the way down through the prophets, what did they do to them? They stoned them. They killed them. And when we look into the introduction of the kingdom age, was John the Baptist popular? No. They hated him.
Amen.
What did they do? They killed him.
Huh?
You look all the way down through, even our Lord, when he comes, was he popular? No. You know, they killed him. And to show just how fickle people is, and this is why when you look at the so-called polls and elections and so forth and so on, and I said to all of you, don't get caught up in that mess.
Yeah.
I mean, look at it, watch it to see what's going on, but only in the sense that you're looking to see the manifestation of what God has decreed.
Yeah.
One day you hero, the next day you're the goat. And then you can go back to being hero again. It just depends upon how they feel. Amen. Our Lord, a few days, one day he comes into Jerusalem and they put down palms for him.
Yeah.
And, oh, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Yeah.
And not too long, many days after that, crucified.
Yeah.
Crucified.
Oh.
And you look at even the kingdom apostles. Huh? You see James hang. Peter hung upside down.
Amen.
Amen. If you're going to stand in the essence of proclaiming this truth,
yeah.
Amen, popularity cannot be something that you desire.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Look at the Apostle Paul. Amen. Oh, how fearful this should be for those who curry favor with humans and deliberately shun spiritual relevant portions of the truth which are most essential for God's people. Oh, what a blessing it is, on the other hand, as Paul stated to testify, I kept back nothing in Acts chapter 20 as he spoke to those as he departed and even said to them, you won't see my face anymore, but you know, I'll leave this testimony. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. I'm pure from the blood of all. Oh my God. I've given you the whole counsel of Revelation, even the parts you don't like. Now, humanly popular preaching and storytelling, and that's what they're doing. You know, if you can get up there, and especially you focus, you're very folksy, you know. Amen. And that's what they tell me is the strength of at least one of the candidates, very folksy, can get up there and and say, you say, boy, we can really relate to that. Amen. We're not here to preach what you could humanly relate to. In fact, I'm afraid if you can humanly relate to it, if your flesh is relating to it, I've got to go back and examine what I'm preaching. Because I'm talking about when we're talking about the gospel of grace, the grace covenant, the grace doctrine does not appeal to the flesh. The grace doctrine appeals to the spirit. Storytelling. You know, that's where we can relate. And someone said to me one time, you know, you know, Pastor, you gotta break this thing down, you know, after all, Jesus spoke in parables. Yeah. What gospel was Jesus preaching? Amen. He was preaching the kingdom. Amen. And they still didn't understand that. Even with the parables. To this day, I marvel sometimes at how some of the categories that is the commentaries, I marvel at how some of them have taken those parables. I mean, first of all, because they don't divide the Bible according to dispensation, have taken the parables and tried to make doctrine for the Grace Church out of it. But today is even worse, storytelling.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to get up here with something worldly and fashionable and trendy.
Yeah. Amen.
Tell the truth. Amen. Humanly popular preaching and storytelling have enormous influence in defining the secular knowledge of faith, as it illuminates cultures of religious humanism. As this folly draws on worldly chronicles, philosophy, graphic dictions, and prevailing earthly prisms, it inconveniently diverts God's people attention away from genuine spiritual truism. That's the damage that is done. Now, the Grace Covenant especially illustrates numbers of scripture treaties that are critical of so-called popular preaching. Today we shall look at one in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Another one is Colossians chapter 2. Historically, a vigorous defense of issue-inspired ministering emerged in 18th century preaching circles. During that time, preachers, I should say the popular preachers, drew inspiration and legitimacy from the rise of secular mysticism. Shall hit that a little bit, not too much, with its emphasis on human aspirations. You see, we think that the focus should be upon what man is doing.
Right.
That's backwards. It's about what God is doing.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank God.
What man is doing is temporary. What God is doing is forever. It's a difference.
Thank God.
Anytime we stand here before you, our focus should be on Jesus.
That's right.
I mean, with the election coming,
right,
our focus must not be on what is happening here and now. I'm not saying we are part of it because we're on the earth. We're in the world, but we're not of the world.
Man.
Our hope is not in a political candidate. Our hope is in Christ.
Thank God. Yes. Amen.
Our hope transcends above worldly words. is set in the eternal inheritance of having been son position in the body of Christ. That's where our hope is. Because everything around you is going to crumble.
I hear you.
It's going to dissolve. Even these bodies, as we have been conveying in the Bible study, they are in essence destroyed. They're destroyed now. But we're not destroyed.
Man.
That's right.
These bodies are doomed.
Sure they are.
Man.
Sure.
But we're not doomed.
Right.
The world is doomed.
It is.
Amen.
But we're not doomed.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank God.
With all the things that are going to manifest in the world, we are safe. We're secure from all harm. Why? Because we're leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. This whole planet, the earth, is going to melt with fervent heat. Oh my God. Everything around us is going to be burned up. Yet we're safe and we're secure. Huh? That's what salvation means this morning. We're safe. Everybody say we're safe.
We are safe.
Don't you ever forget that. Amen. And think that your house, your home, your job, your bank account, your your 401k. Amen. Your IRA. Oh my God. Huh? Your pension. None of these things. Amen. Exudes confidence.
Right.
Oh my God, hallelujah. But in spite of what's happening around us, and this is the type preaching and teaching we should get instead of what is humanly popular. So as we look today around us and we see what's happening and we see the modern ministry and historically, as we've said, amen, issue-inspired ministry. I got a book upstairs. It said, they showed you how to build up a big ministry. And it said, don't preach doctrine. Can you imagine some woman that would have any knowledge of what we're reading here out of the scriptures that would pin that? Don't preach. And there are folk that are following. There are ministers that are following that this morning. Don't preach doctrine. It's a doctrine divides. Preach issues. Issues unite. Amen. Oh my God. Unite what? Amen. The truth is what we need this morning. And so, regardless of how inspirational it may be and how legitimate it might be in human circles, a secular mysticism with its emphasis on human aspirations is not the order for preaching. Even if such is perceived to enable the challenging or reinforcing of social and political hierarchies. What's happening? They're entertaining the masses with tales of moral identification. And moral edification. You know, five ways how to do something. Five ways how to accomplish something. In these difficult times, and everybody else is, you know, everybody else is struggling, you can be living in clover. I mean, just lying, just lies, lies.
Amen.
When he rains on the unjust, he's going to rain on the just too.
Amen.
If they go hungry, some of us might go hungry, some of them won't.
Amen.
And Paul writes on one occasion, he said, we thirst and hunger even to this hour.
Amen.
Ow. But that's not where our focus is. And so these so-called charismatic figures and say, well, you know, you don't have a whole lot of charisma. I don't know what that is. You know, does Jesus have charisma? Does Jesus? I mean, you know, hey, you know, who is the personality here?
Jesus.
Because men come and men do what?
Go.
Men go.
Yeah.
Amen. Ministries. How many times have we seen ministries built around charismatic figures of men, and then when something happens to them, when something happens to them, where's that ministry? Paul never sought to do that.
Right.
Oh my God, huh? He's been gone now over 2,000 years. And the gospel of the grace of God is still alive, huh?
Yeah.
And well, and moved, because it was never about Paul.
Amen.
Yeah.
Charismatic figures develop popular followings. They aroused endorsement of theological scholars and entities who accept their secular innovated interpretations of the scriptures. And of course, they do this as long as it does not undermine their orthodox religious authority or blur the social and gender barriers of their selfish enterprises. You see, when you set out to start to please some people, you've lost complete control. Amen. Because you got, it's like a politician, you know, he's got certain things that he really even believes he can't say it.
Right.
You know, because I don't want to alienate this group, and so I said one thing, and I have to be careful, you know, that I don't alienate this particular group.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
You know, and what that leads to is inconsistency, and the first assessment that something is not true is that it is inconsistent.
Man,
right.
If I preach the truth according to the revelation of the ministry, and I stick with it, then I know I'm always on target.
Man. Thank God.
Also, humanly popular preaching and storytelling distort audiences' understanding of spiritual activities, as they obscure enlightenment of the eternal, unseen, heavenly entities.
Yeah.
Our defenders, there are many that defend the present-day ministering media. They say, you're not preaching unless you're reaching. My question is always, who are you reaching?
Albert. That's right. Thank God.
When we stand here before you,
glory.
We stand here with the assumption that you were called and positioned,
yes,
chosen and placed in the body of Christ before the foundation of the world. In other words, when we stand here preaching, our assumption is that we're preaching to the church.
Amen.
Right. What is the church? The body of Christ. So well, suppose that person is not in the body of Christ. It's what are our instructions to preach to the body of Christ?
Amen.
Paul gives in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, he speaks about what the ministry is. And he gave some what?
Some apostles.
Apostles.
Prophets.
Evangelists.
Pastors and teachers.
For what?
For
perfection of who?
The saints.
Equipment of who?
The
saints. Who are the saints? Those that are in the body of Christ. Like, well, wait a minute. Then what about those who are not? Well, you see, now you get this is where your understanding comes into.
Right. But might be some people out there that's not in the body of Christ yet.
Oh,
yet.
Yeah, yet. Yet.
It may not be manifested to them that they're in the body of Christ.
Right.
But all body members were chosen, elected, and placed in Christ before creation. Salvation is a completed work in eternity.
Amen.
That was right.
And God didn't bother to tell us which one of us he put in and who he left out.
Amen.
That's not our job. That's not our worry.
Come on. Come on.
He hasn't asked us to judge. Mm-hmm. Not even be fruit inspectors.
Oh, man.
Amen. Because we end up throwing out the good fruit and leaving the rotten fruit in the basket.
Oh,
he said, "Man, now you can. You can look and see. Now you with your depraved self, how you going to look and how you going to judge what's good and what's bad? Huh? So again, human preaching or storytelling distort audiences' understanding of spiritual things and obscure the enlightenment of the heavenly,
right,
eternal,
right,
things.
Right.
Someone once said that I was stuck on eternity. I said, guilty. Guilty.
That's right.
If you don't like to hear about eternity, you probably won't like this ministry. Huh? If you don't like focusing on the unseen spiritual, you won't like this ministry.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Because we believe our gospel,
yes,
that says we're not looking at those things.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean you're not looking at them? You see them. Then he said prioritize them.
That's right. That's right.
Because they're temporary. So those that defend the secular medium argue that its mode expresses the consensus of improving communities as to what constitutes both acceptable religious knowledge and essential directives to reforming humankind. I tell you, one of our aims, absolutely, I tell you, we're not up here trying to reform humankind.
Amen.
Our message is to the transform. Paul writes on one occasion that be not what?
Transform.
Before that, what did he say?
Conformed.
Don't be conformed to this world. But be transformed. Who was he talking to? The world? No. Was he talking to human flesh? No. Was he talking to the pre-mankind? No. Who was he talking to? Members of the body of Christ. Everything I've got to say up here this morning, we're talking to the members of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And our assumption is every one of you, you're a member of the body of Christ.
Amen.
If not, we're not talking to you. You said, I asked my relative, the pastor said, well, no, now listen to what I'm saying. The assumption is that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you know it or not, the assumption is that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the end, religious knowledge, as the definition is commonly understood, is very porous and flexible to the depraved morale, thanks in part to the activities of popular trendiness. And I'm going to back in. What are we talking about? We're talking about depraved morale. That's a general level of confidence or optimism felt by persons or groups of people, especially as it affects their discipline and motivation. He said, well, you know, the preaching's got to be inspiring and preaching has got to be motivational. Yeah, I mean, in what sense? If you're talking about humanly inspiring, no. If you're talking about human motivations, no. It does the very opposite. And I know this is why grace doctrine of preaching is so boring. You say, you know, you got to make sure, you know, and people, because you see, I cut out a little article. One of these days I pass it out from the internet. It was talking about human deficiency in attention.
Amen.
Human attention deficiency. You know, I'm not talking about those that have the special problem. We're talking about, well, yes, I am. All humans have that problem of attention. Our attention spans are short. I've got to be talking about something I can resonate with to keep my attention.
Right, man.
You know, otherwise it's boring.
Right, man.
No preacher wants to be boring. I don't want to be boring. But you know, but if boring means that if not being boring means that I've got to leave this and then go over and talk about something that your human spirit can resonate with, then I'm going to be boring.
Amen.
If not being boring means that I'm going to prioritize and focus the things that are seen, the things that are temporary, the things that are disappearing, then I'm going to be boring.
Amen.
Because we're going to talk about that which is unseen,
Amen.
That which is spiritual, that which is everlasting. That which you can depend upon.
Right.
Oh my God, that which does not ride the roller coaster. Oh my God, of Wall Street. You got to jump up every morning and see what the Dow Jones is doing and the NASDAQ and the Standard and Poor's. And if it goes up, your spirit is up. If it goes down, your spirit is down. Oh my God, my inheritance can't be touched by the Wall Street.
Oh man, man. Preach it, amen. Preach it,
Pastor. Start be talking about these things. It transcends what's happening in the White House on Capitol Hill. Whose policies we're going to go with. Oh my God. Some people get up early in the morning and watch what's happening on the Asian market, which opens many hours before 9:30, which is the time that the market opened for trading in Wall Street. And they do that because they figure that's going to give them some indication of what the market's going to do. You know, I mean, they're more worried than some of us are. They worry about losing their stuff. Maybe that's a good thing not to have all that stuff.
Amen.
We have not to be worried about losing. But whether you've got it or you don't have it, amen, you've got it and you don't have it because, amen, you know that naked you came in here and naked you're going out. Amen. And the only thing you take out is what you brought in. And the only thing that you brought in was your salvation. Oh my God. Because you can't lose that.
Yeah,
thank
God. Yes, sir.
Got it.
Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah.
What part of this, our citizenship, is not in this world? What part of that if we don't understand? That's me about 15 minutes. The first 15 minutes. Now, against this backdrop, prioritize challenging issues of the unseen, cultural, exude, exceptionally versed missions of developing spiritually abiding maturation. Where? In the eternal realm. In eternal realm, we want to talk and focus and prioritize and have hope in that which is unmovable and unshakable.
Right. Right.
And that's nothing here on this earth.
Yeah.
Get up here talking about the social issues of the day. You know, we figure we're not preaching unless we're addressing people's concerns. Well, what should really be your concern? Huh? And this is why we fight the awful doctrine of synergism.
Amen.
Synergism. Man working in tandem with God in partnership of straightening things out, solving problems and so forth and so on. That's strange, you know. God needs our help. You know, God created the world and then he stood back and said, well, now I'm going to see what y'all going to do now. If y'all do A, I'll do B. Like God doesn't have an agenda. You see how crazy it is? I'm going to stand up here and preach like that. Now if y'all get together, you know, and get behind this candidate, get this issue passed, we're going to be...
Oh, man. Have mercy.
That's the kind of nonsense that we're hearing right now as we close in on the election.
Right now. Amen.
They're prioritizing the real election.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you say election, they're thinking about something political.
Right.
Say, you don't talk about the election. They say, every week. Even after November the 4th, we're going to continue to talk about the election. Election is what got us placed in the body of Christ. Are you crazy? We're going to talk about it. Amen. We're going to focus on it and everything else. Now, non-secularity imbues the cutting edge of a new direction solely in scripture studies as it embargoes religious and social history in the pure sense. I say in the pure sense. In the pure sense of society and social history. What do you mean in the pure sense? In the essence of what is, what really is, and what really is, and what God has decreed.
Amen.
And this is what we don't understand, and when we get back to our discourse in scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time, we deal with what really is.
Amen.
What really is what's in God's decree.
Right.
There are all kind of manifestations. Even lies are manifested. But the truth is what it is. We want to know what it is. Not what they say it is. We want to know what it is. We want to know the real deal.
Right.
That's what we want to know. I was told that, I read something that mental illness is skyrocketing. Depression and because of this crisis.
Yes.
Everybody is stressed out. Well, not everybody is stressed. You don't have to stress out. If you lose your home, have you lost your life?
No.
So, well, I don't know about that. Where I'm going to stay? No way could you have run with those whom Jesus commissioned.
No way. No way.
And even Jesus himself in his earthly manifestation, he didn't have a house. He didn't have nowhere. What did he say? They got holes. They can go somewhere. I don't have nowhere.
Nowhere. That's what he said.
Yeah, Jesus was homeless. And his disciples were homeless. And most of his, Paul was homeless. Now he had something before he met Jesus, but after Damascus, he never had anything anymore but trouble. I said, man, that doesn't sound too promising. No, well, it depends upon what promise and what hope and what your hope is in. Now, we're not making light of what's going on. Out here in the market, we're not making light of people losing their home. But in the eternal sense, we'll tell you it's not as serious as it looks.
Come on with it.
That's it. Amen.
Thank God.
Come on with it.
Preach it. Amen.
Come on with it.
Amen.
What do you mean it's not serious? Your abiding essence reside in eternal unseen things that transcends what's here. There are catastrophes that are all around us. There's peril all around. There are asteroids that are heading toward the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody worries about that, dude. Huh? And we can't do anything about that. We can't do anything about this other thing either. Not you.
Come on with it. See it.
Come on
with it,
Pastor.
Come on.
Bring it home. Amen.
There are climatical conditions that are perils.
Mm-hmm.
Even the earth, the climatical changes of the earth itself.
Mm-hmm.
Perils. Famine.
Yes.
Diseases. Yeah. There are perils all around us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yet we must always remember that we're safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is what the grace doctrine teaches us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Give me about 10 more minutes, and this is the real 10 minutes here. Unless you all are going to let me preach a couple hours.
Amen.
Look at those looks. Amen. I did get at least one amen.
Amen.
I got two. Illuminated elements. So, Pastor, I love you. We don't love you that much. Illuminated elements of spiritual understanding in society opens up areas previously and inadequately never covered by simply prioritizing earthly societal focusing. Now, let's go back from the Greek, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Elder, read that. I know nobody's closed your Bibles. Read
1 Corinthians chapter 2, interlineal Greek text. And I, coming to you, brothers, came not according to excellence of speech or of wisdom, announcing to you the testimony of God.
Because that's not how you announce the testimony of God. Man, I wish I had time. Woo! I've got to exegete that.
Amen.
You can't pull out of the testimony of God humanly excellence of speech.
Amen.
Human wisdom.
No.
You're not talking about the testimony of God.
No.
Because the testimony of God is that man is what?
Depraved,
and then that depravity includes what? Stupidity, ignorance, the whole nine yards. And they're talking about none of the candidates giving us, you know, how are we going to get out of this mess? How are they going to give you what they don't know?
Man.
So are you? Huh? Like the man. Son was saying, Dad, you got to give me the answer. You always give me an answer. He said, I can give you an answer, but what you need is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there there is no human illumination as to what the answer is. I tell you what the answer is. I can tell you what the answer is. Whatever God has decreed.
Amen.
It's going to manifest. It's got to manifest. It must be.
Amen.
Keep reading.
Verse 2. For I decided not anything to know among you except Jesus Christ.
Well, that doesn't really read exactly. Well, we don't have time. Go ahead, Paul.
And this one,
Paul will never be talking about what he decided to do. Okay.
This one.
Now, King James is closer. That is determination. Well, keep reading. Keep reading. I mean, y'all know better than that. To know among you what now?
Except Jesus Christ.
Except Christ. Except Christ. The determination of my commission is to preach Jesus Christ, nothing but Jesus Christ. And the
this
fact
one.
That he is what?
Crucified.
They're being crucified. You get up here preaching all about those Asians there on the Sunday. Justification. What justification has got to do with me paying my bills? Everything.
Man.
What does propitiation have to do with everything?
Man.
What does imputation? Everything. Because it paid your spiritual debt.
Oh, Jesus. Man.
Once and forever.
Yes, Lord.
So spiritually, you were debt free when you got here.
Come on here.
So you don't have to be worried about being debt free when you leave here because you, even while you're here. Not really. Oh my God, help us. Help us, help us. People, listen, some terrible stuff is going to come. You say, man, can it get any worse? It's going to get worse. So, oh, no, that's not inspiring. Don't preach that. But listen, you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
You're secure. We got to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Keep reading.
And I, in weakness, and in fear,
mm-hmm.
and in trembling much,
mm-hmm.
was with you.
Mm-hmm. That's Paul said, I was right with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not somewhere isolated. Whatever you're going through, I'm going through too.
That's
right. Yep. Keep reading.
And the speech of me and the proclamation of me,
mm-hmm.
not in persuasive of wisdom,
mm-hmm.
words,
mm-hmm.
but in demonstration of spirit.
Not in persuading you through human wisdom or words of human wisdom, but in what?
Demonstration
of the spirit.
Yes, Lord.
And the power.
Mm-hmm.
Here we're closed with here today. Paul says, and my words and preaching not in persuasiveness of wisdom, but in demonstration of the power of the Spirit and the power. What? Read that last part. That your what?
That your
faith.
In order that the faith
mm-hmm.
of you
mm-hmm.
may not be in wisdom of men.
Mm-hmm. But where?
But in power of God.
Power of God. Your faith may not be. Some of them say, "Well, you know, this is the power of God to change things down here." Now, I'm not telling you that I got a crystal ball, but every nation that has been runs its course.
Amen.
There's no way you could have told them. People in Babylon that the great cities that Nebuchadnezzar built
Man.
Wouldn't stand forever.
Man.
What stands where Babylon stood? Iraq.
Iraq.
And then the Persia. The great mighty Persia. They built buildings that we don't even tip to build in this day and time. There's no way you could have told them that that would ever disappear. What stands in the place of Persia?
Iran.
Iran. And an archaeologist would have to dig deep in order to even get some of the artifacts of what they... Greece. Alexander the Great supposed to conquer all the known world, or just about all of it. You go to Greece today. Do you see wealth or do you see poverty?
Poverty.
Rome. 500 years. Can you imagine going to a Roman in 2nd or 3rd century and telling hey, you know, this is not going to always be. They would have laughed at you.
Amen.
So, well, now you see, they were wicked, and so God destroyed them. No, hold on. Wait. The most wicked emperors they had was in the 1st century.
Come on with it,
Pastor. Caligula and
Nero.
Yes. Burned the whole city down.
Amen.
Executed our beloved Apostle Paul. Yeah, but Rome continued to thrive for a few more centuries. Then come the 5th century. Constantine. So I'm going to accept this Christianity.
Yes.
What happened to Rome?
It failed.
Yes. That's why these... Oh my God. Lord help me to be... These supposedly informed evangelicals. Who are saying that God is going to take America down because of this and because of that. Because if we took prayer out of school, and he said, why did the planes run into the building? He said, they took the prayer out of school. You know, they did this. That's crazy. You know why that's crazy? If God got mad at us because of what we did, it wouldn't have taken them this long. Mankind would have been wiped out.
Amen.
So, well, God just got fed up. And these are some of our supposedly top theologians.
Amen.
That is crazy. So what should we preach? I'm going to have to take this up next week, but not the wisdom of men. Not the assessment of men. Not the logic of men.
Man.
Have mercy.
Absolutely. Not the assessment of human reasoning.
Man.
When you want to know what's going on, you look into this word. It's here. Our problem is that we're standing on a horizontal plane trying to look around to see what's going on. And the problem is when you're standing on a horizontal plane, there might be some joy there, but if chaos walks in the front of it, you can't see the joy because it's being obliterated by the confusion of the calamity that you are viewing, even though the joy might be behind it. All you can see is that you lost your job or that you're standing in peril of losing your job. What's the joy of it? Well, maybe the joy would be that God may not allow them to... Can you imagine Paul in prison the night before he was executed? Oh, Lord, come down and rescue me. Remember what you did for the boys of the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember you went into the lion's den. Oh, shut the mouth of the lions. For Daniel, come on down here. No, what did Paul say? He said, I finished my course.
Amen.
I fought the good fight.
Amen.
And I'm ready to be offered.
Glory to God.
Amen.
That's what he said.
Thank God. But there's something awaiting me that always was.
Absent
from the body is what?
Present
with the Lord. See, that's crazy talk. well, we're just going to be crazy every week.
Amen.
Because we're not dependent upon the things around us. Now, why are we continuing? Why are we continuing to convey this? Why are we up here trying to give you some hope that this thing is going to turn around? Why are we telling you that the stock market is going to go back up? Why are we telling you that the credit crunch is going to be eased? Why are we telling you that the million people that have lost their jobs are going to be rehired?
Jesus.
Why are we pushing a candidate? Why aren't we pushing a policy? Why aren't we pushing the issues of straightening things out? Why are we engaging you in things that are unseen? Why are we engaging you in the eternal, everlasting, rather than what's bothering you and plaguing you right now? Well, first of all, we have a commission. And that commission is to teach the gospel of the grace of God, to preach the mystery.
Yeah, thank God. Yes, yes, yes.
To preach the valuable truth that God gave to Paul. To preach the unseen, the everlasting. To preach the essence of Christ and Him crucified. To preach the essence of your position in the body of Christ. Why are we doing it, and why are we continuing to do it?
Yeah.
Because we want to talk about hope when we stand up here.
Yeah.
And hope,
yes,
it's not hope if you can see it.
Yeah.
Because if no one can hope for what you see, yeah, you must hope for what you can't see.
Yeah.
Glory.
And why are we hoping for the unseen?
Yeah.
Because the unseen is everlasting and eternal. And to the end, that you can rejoice in the day of your salvation. And as Paul writes from prison, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is the essence of being safe from everything that's going on out there.
Everything.
We'll take it up next week.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God.